It's a teaser. It's a teaser.
All right, I gotta wait. Okay, all right.
There's a couple of things that bug. One of them we already talked about, which was satellite interview. If you're gonna do a satellite interview, it can't be somebody who's doing an interview from 100 paces down the road. Because I mean, you get that when you get into these like media. I don't want to call them a gang.
Cluster.
Anyway, a cluster. There you go. Cluster's a better word, but there's another word phrase that people are probably familiar with. Anyway. There's a lot of that because it's like, I'm going to interview you talking about the same thing that we're both talking about, and we're both on location, and you just have to be 8 paces away from me. All right, we're going to bring Matt Stella in now. Matt, how are things down there where you're looking? Well, they're exactly the same as they are where you're looking because we're 8 steps away from each other. Anyway, okay, so you want to start baseball or football?
Oh, it doesn't matter. What do you want to start with today?
Let's do football. We'll get that out of the way. The departures of 4 Razorbacks this week announced by Brett Bielema, who clearly has no animosity towards any of the 4. 2 of the guys had basically gotten themselves in trouble to the point where they weren't coming back. And then you lose a guy who they couldn't decide if he was going to be a running back or a receiver, and a quarterback that clearly did not want to play anything but quarterback.
Yeah, I think that sums it up, and that's exactly right. And, you know, the biggest news, as we know, is that Brandon Mitchell is leaving. But when you really kind of dig down deep and you look at the entire situation, it shouldn't be that big of a surprise because of the fact that, you know, he's a kid who's going to be a senior. He wants to play his final year, and he's already decided that he wants to be a quarterback. So when it's pretty clear that he's not going to be the starter, which I think it's become pretty clear, or it became pretty clear at the end of spring when Brandon Allen was number one on the depth chart and spent the entire spring, you know, at the number one spot, you know, you have to make a decision. Do you want to help the team in other ways just to get on the field again, or do you want to try to find somewhere to play quarterback? And that's what he's going to do. And, you know, the one thing that I didn't know, which was kind of a revelation to me, I didn't know he was on pace to graduate. And what that does, that's great for him because now he can look anywhere across the country now and try to find that place where they are looking for a quarterback, and he's got a chance to go in and play immediately.
I would like to talk to somebody who's in the know on this kind of thing. Just from my, again, passing the eye test, I don't want to say anything negative about Brandon Mitchell because I like Brandon Mitchell a lot. He was a great asset for the basketball team when he appeared there briefly. I think he's done everything right as far as keeping his mouth shut, working hard, and trying to help the team however he can. But I don't see a guy that necessarily I think, gee, this guy is going to be a legitimate NFL pro prospect.
Quarterback. I think that a lot of people probably agree with you there. But in his mind, you know, he's got those talents, he's got those capabilities. He thinks that he can go in somewhere and play a year at quarterback and show enough. And, you know, I do think he does have some of the skill set. I think the biggest thing that was hurting him, especially this spring, was, you know, the propensity for some turnovers. It wasn't, you know, an alarming amount, but, you know, he did throw some interceptions in those scrimmages that we watched. And, you know, I think that's probably the thing that separated him from Brandon Allen the most at that point. So, you know, I do think he's got the skills to play quarterback somewhere. I don't think there's any doubt about that. At the next level, I'm not so sure. I'm not a great NFL talent evaluator by any means. But I do think he can play quarterback at the college level. It's just about finding that opportunity and getting it. And, you know, he did his best here at Arkansas to win a starting job, just couldn't get it done.
Don't sell yourself short. I think you're a great NFL talent evaluator. Robbie Neiswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau joining us in the zone today on the Revolution Hotline. Here's a story that I've heard before. He has a hard time picking up the offense. He has issues with simple things like getting a snap or making the right reads, and he's just not consistent enough. That would be a description of a guy named Nathan Dick when he arrived at the University of Central Arkansas after a brief stay in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. He went from a guy who looked totally clueless to a guy who was an all-conference and all-American type of quarterback his next year. The one thing I will say that I will defend Brandon Mitchell on, and I've gotten some feedback from fans on this too, is when a guy gets a spot opportunity here and there and never really gets a chance to be considered as a starter and never gets a chance to get in the mix on a consistent basis, it's really hard to give him any sort of fair evaluation. Now, the coaches see him in practice every day, and that's what they've got to go off of. But I don't necessarily think that he got a real fair shake to show what he truly can be at quarterback.
Yeah, but, you know, along those same lines, I'm not sure how much longer you can give a guy either, because if you're a new staff, you've got to start to figure out in the spring who's going to be the guy that we're going to lean on going forward. And you know, as they started the evaluation process, I think they made the determination that it was going to be Brandon Allen. Mm-hmm. You know, while they haven't come out and said, you know, Brandon Allen's our guy, you know, they haven't done that. They left it open, the competition open, at least publicly. You know, I think it's pretty clear by the actions, you know, he got almost all the reps of the first team. It was clear that they thought he was the guy that they needed to move forward with. And, you know, your point about Nathan Dick is, guys can transfer and have success somewhere else and really turn into fine quarterbacks. It's about getting that opportunity. And that's the problem with the quarterback position in college football. Only one guy's going to play for the most part. You know, you're not going to have much success with the rotating quarterback system. So you've got guys coming from high schools that you know, say, hey, I'm going to be the man here. Well, it doesn't always work out, and they got to go somewhere else to find that opportunity. And, you know, Nathan Dick's one guy that did it. And, you know, let's bring up Tavares Jackson as well, another former Arkansas quarterback who, you know, it didn't work out here for him. He transferred down, had a successful career, and he's still in the NFL right now. So you just never know. It's about, like you said, it's about getting an opportunity, taking advantage of the opportunity. He just couldn't get it or couldn't get over the hump here at Arkansas. And, you know, that's no shame to the kid, and that's no fault, I don't think, of the coaching staff. I just think that's the way it is, and that's the way it's worked out. You've had two pretty good quarterbacks here with Ryan Mallett and Tyler Wilson. Unfortunately for Brandon Mitchell, most of his career was spent here with those two here.
Let me put you on the spot for a second. I don't know if you have this answer. I'm going to try to pull out the media guide here as I'm asking you this question, but what are the most passes Brandon Mitchell ever threw in a game?
I'm going to guess right around maybe 8 to 10, something like that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't very many. He may have thrown...
He threw 32 passes in 2011.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he ended up with last year.
I think he attempted 8 passes last year. And
okay.
I know one of them was out of a trick play that he threw for a touchdown. On the end around or reverse at Auburn. So
well, going into last year, his career percentage was 65.7% from a completion percentage. 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. That was his first 2 years on campus. So,
sure.
I mean, I'd say limited action.
He certainly wasn't terrible by any means when he was out there at quarterback. That's not the case with him. It's not like this has been a failed experiment with a guy at the quarterback who just hasn't been able to handle it. He just hasn't been able to get over the hump to be the number one guy. And you know, he's going to go somewhere else and look for that opportunity.
On the flip side, it would have been interesting to see, as a physical guy that he is, and we saw him have some success at receiver, and there were defensive backs that pretty regularly bounced off him. I mean, he is all up to the task from being a big frame receiver.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tough dude.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been fun to see, when you've got a run-first offense, what kind of success he could have had at receiver in this offense. And clearly they need him. When you look at the depth chart, he's a guy that you got to think, from an experience standpoint, a leadership standpoint, and toughness standpoint, could have helped you.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. You know, I think he showed flashes of what he could be as a receiver if he wanted to commit to that position full-time. He doesn't want to. And if a kid doesn't want to commit to that position full-time, you know, it's not going to do anybody any good to force him into that role. So I think that's why you see, you know, as the statement was worded, it sounded like, you know, a mutual parting of the ways. You know, I don't know what went on behind closed doors, and I'm sure, you know, Coach Bielema told him, you know, listen, I can't see many opportunities for you to play quarterback next year, you know, but I do see value in you. You know, you can help this football team in other ways. And I'm assuming Brandon just said, no, I want to be a quarterback, and that's kind of the way it goes.
Well, I've heard that he was a little caught off guard when he heard that. Is that what you've been told?
Well, what happened was at Bielema's post-spring press conference, the players started to trickle into the back of the room, so Brandon Mitchell was there when Bielema first said, you know, we may explore seeing if he can help us in other ways. And, you know, so of course you go back and you talk to him about that, and he did seem a little caught off guard by it and said, this is the first I've ever heard of it. You know, I want to be a quarterback. I feel like I'm a quarterback. So I think that's where you first got the sense that, okay, well, these two may not be fitting together in their ideas now, you know, as they move into the offseason. And, you know, I think a couple weeks later, you know, it was the release that says he's transferring. So I think that's what happened.
Any idea? Have you heard anything as far as where he might end up? I mean, everybody's had, there's been conjecture about he may follow his former coaches one way or the other to Idaho, or Western Kentucky. Anything at all?
Yeah, I mean, those are the ones that you start with, but you don't know for sure. You wonder, you know, there's plenty of schools down in Louisiana where he's from. You wonder if he ends up at one of those. I mean, one of them's on Arkansas' schedule next year, isn't it, like ULL or something? I don't know what their quarterback situations are, but wouldn't that be ironic if he transfers to a school like that, and next thing you know, he's a starting quarterback for that team coming in to play Arkansas next year. So,
or he could go to Idaho and play against Arkansas State next year.
Yeah, he could do that too. So,
or Western
Kentucky, whatever. Yeah. I think, you know, UAB is the one that popped in my head first, but it, from what it sounds like, UAB's got a returning starter there. I haven't looked at their roster, to be honest with you.
I looked at their record, though, and you would think that maybe they could upgrade to that position.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. So, you know, I'm sure that he had a pretty good relationship with Garrick McGee. So those are the three schools that you start with, and you kind of check those out, and then you just kind of see where it may lead from there.
Well, the great thing for him and for the school that he's going to end up at is that he can play right away because of the academic standing. So that's good for him and good for them. So that's nice. And, again, he's one of those guys, and there's been some bad blood with guys who have transferred out before. I think this is one of those where I hope the fans will support him, not that they have to follow him or pay attention to what he's doing. But I think, generally speaking, there's probably not a whole lot of bad blood towards him from the fan base, and certainly there isn't from the coaching staff. What about for Minor? Was that a big surprise to you? Was that a little out of left field? I know he had some question as to which position he was going to play.
Well, what was out of left field to me was when, you know, we saw him in the spring and he was playing running back. That was more out of left field to me. And then, you know, you saw what you expected. He wasn't having any success there. And I think it's clear that the coaches were content with what they had at receiver. They wanted to see if he could work at running back. It's pretty clear it didn't work. I don't even remember if he got a carry in the spring game, to be honest with you. So it's just a situation where, you know, if he wants to play receiver, he's going to have to find somewhere else to play, and that's just the way it goes.
Okay. Well, and the thing is, it opens up a couple of spots, so we'll see what they end up doing with those down the road here. So, and maybe some guys already on campus will get some scholarships that they weren't expecting.
Yeah, you know, and in a way, I was almost expecting a little more attrition. You know, four guys leaving, two of them that we knew about before this was even – released the other day. You know, that's not bad when you're talking about a new coach, a new staff, a new philosophy, a new way of thinking. I mean, you kind of expect it to maybe be more, and maybe there will be more as it continues to go on throughout the summer. Who knows? But at this point, just four, I think that says a lot about, you know, what they think of the talent that's still here, what the players here think about the coaches. So that's probably a good sign.
Baseball this weekend. Arkansas's, and I can't believe I'm saying this, it seems like we're just getting going, but Arkansas's final homestand, maybe it couldn't come soon enough for you, but Arkansas's final homestand of the regular season, Tennessee this weekend, and we are going to give away some tickets here after we wrap up with you today. But thoughts on Tennessee and thoughts on what you've seen from Arkansas the last several games? I think Coach has got to be, other than maybe a play or two here and there, one that cost him a sweep this last weekend, they got to be pretty pleased with the way things are trending.
I think so. You know, in all honesty, it feels like Arkansas's been on the road a whole lot the last few weeks, and I guess they really have. You know, most of their seniors have been on the road, and they've had a lot of success there. And, and really, their performance on the road has been a reason why, you know, what seemed like no hope of hosting a regional probably about 3 weeks ago, they're back in the discussion right now. And I think, you know, if they can take care of business the next 2 weekends, if they can win these two series and not, you know, go 0-2 or whatever in the SEC tournament, I think that they might actually be hosting because of the fact that you're going to have, you know, if you go 4-2 the next 2 weekends, you win both series, you've got 19 SEC wins, you finish third in the SEC. It seems hard to not give number 3 in the SEC a home regional. But the one thing that could hurt Arkansas is the RPI, and none of us can figure out exactly, I think. I don't know how the formula works, but Arkansas is very, very low in the RPI right now, well below other teams like Mississippi State and South Carolina, Ole Miss. So that's one thing to watch out for. You know, what is the NCAA committee going to do? Are they choosing these regionals based on how you finished in conference play, which Arkansas has done very good so far, or are they looking at the RPI? Which one matters the most? We're going to find out here in a couple weeks.
Robbie Nyswanger joining us, Arkansas News Bureau, on the Revolution Hotline. What do you know about Tennessee specifically and how the Hogs might match up there?
Don't know too much about Tennessee. They've struggled a lot. Their record's not very good. They've got, I think, only 6 wins in conference play. So, you know, this is a team that's really running out of time this season. And, you know, I don't even think that they've qualified or they will qualify for the SEC tournament. Maybe if they go on a tear the last couple of weeks, they still might be mathematically alive, but it doesn't look good for them. So, you know, Arkansas is favored to win. They're at home. They've got the better pitching staff. They've got, you know, some defense that's improving despite the costly error there against Kentucky. So I think Arkansas should match up pretty well with Tennessee.
Let's hope so. That would be good. One more thing. Oh, I hate to flip-flop, but go back to football for a second. I got an email here from Michael who says, and I'm going to get you to weigh in on this, I think people are sleeping on Allen's escape ability, or escapability, if you want to combine that into one word. He might be a step quicker from the jump than Mitchell, not the same athletically or top-end speed, but Allen has the quicker first step eluding the rush. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's shown some of that. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he showed it some in the games that he played last year. Obviously, it wasn't a very good sample because you were playing against Alabama and you struggled against ULM when you played. So we didn't see him much other than that. But no, I think Brandon Allen's got a chance to be a very good quarterback for this program. The only thing that you wonder about is, you know, he's a sophomore and he hasn't really had much big game experience in his career here. So it's really all on his shoulders right now, and Arkansas doesn't have much experience behind him or below him. So it's going to be very intriguing to watch that quarterback position to see who emerges maybe as the number two guy, as the number three guy when preseason practice begins. Chances are it's going to be some freshmen. So you're going to probably go sophomore, freshman, something like that, you know, when you're talking about your quarterback depth chart next year.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple things that you can't answer. How about that?
All right. Perfect.
If you had to bet your kid's college fund on it,
okay.
Does the high-profile running back, Collins, start at any point during the season?
I'm going to say no. And I think it's because I think Jonathan Williams has shown to this point that he's going to be a powerful and elusive and speedy type runner. I think he can have a big year. Now, you got to help me out here because we all know that playing in the SEC it can be rough on running backs. Mm-hmm. So there may be injury situations that pop up that might force a guy to have to start like that. But I really think if Jonathan Williams is able to stay healthy throughout, you know, for the most part, where he's not missing games, I think he's shown the capability this spring. And I think that the coaches believe in him now after seeing him this spring that he's got the chance to be the number one guy. Collins is going to get a lot of carries next year, though, because you can't just give it all to one guy. But I really do think Jonathan Williams is going to be the number one guy next year.
I saw his high school track team won the state 4x1, or maybe it was their – I want to say it was a state. Maybe it was a regional deal. But anyway,
so – the national. He's the fastest man in America.
You sure won the world?
I don't, hemisphere, perhaps.
Okay. And the other question was, we are certainly hopeful that Brandon Allen will not only have a great year but stay healthy all season long. We know that can be a little difficult in the SEC, especially for a guy that values his escapability that can occasionally put you in harm's way. Who, again, if you're going to bet your kids college fund, who's the backup to start the season?
I think it's going to be Austin Allen. I really do.
Okay.
But I don't know. I haven't seen much of Damon Mitchell in how he's played. He's more of a curiosity to me because he popped up late in the recruiting process. You know, he was a late switch from Georgia Tech. He apparently has a lot of tools and can bring a lot of excitement to the position. Good arm, good speed, do a little bit of variety of everything. So I'm just going to guess Austin Allen's number two at this point, but it's purely just a guess, so I'm certainly not wagering anything on it.
Derby's a guy that is a transfer too, and he's played, I guess, both sides of the ball. I think he played some linebacker at one point in his career.
Yeah.
How open is he to not playing quarterback? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that he wants to play quarterback. That's probably why he transferred too. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't forget a guy like that when we talk about it as well. I think the coaches felt comfortable with him running the offense. I don't know if he ever made any big flashy plays or anything like that, or hasn't exactly shown a big arm all the time. But I think he's a guy who does have a little bit of experience and knows what he's doing, so he might be able to manage the offense as well. So, you know, he's got to factor into that equation too, I guess, when we're talking about the number two quarterbacks. But I think, you know, you've got to give your newcomers a shot too and really make a determination in the fall whether a guy can help you this year or whether you need to redshirt him and just let him sit out and learn. And I think that's what they'll do, you know, when preseason practice starts.
His name escapes me, but the Arkansas kid that transferred from Memphis.
Taylor Reed.
Taylor Reed, thank you.
Yes.
But what was the feedback on him from spring?
Well, I didn't get to see him too much, to be honest with you, because we only saw three or four practices, and for the most part, we saw Brandon Allen and Brandon Mitchell.
You were lucky to see those, pal.
Exactly. We were very fortunate. So I didn't get to see too much of him, but I think he's the guy that's on down the list. They've also got a kid named Davis McElroy who's still a walk-on as well. So I don't think Taylor Reed is starting quarterback material, but he's somebody that can certainly help you if you get into a bind, let's put it that way.
Is McElroy related to Greg McElroy or Rory McElroy? Or my boy, Elroy?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But
be cool if he was.
I could be wrong.
Does he have an Irish accent?
I have never talked to him, okay. So I couldn't tell you.
All right, just checking. Thought I'd ask.
That hasn't been on my player request list as far as post-practice interviews at this point. So.
That makes two of us.
Yeah.
All right, we'll catch up again on Friday, maybe talk a little more about the pitching matchups between Arkansas and Tennessee for the weekend. And when we come back, I have a trivia question that will earn you tickets to the Arkansas-Tennessee series if you would like them. If you wouldn't like them, you can win them anyway. Robbie, we appreciate it. We'll visit with you again here in a couple days.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's Robbie Neiswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau.
It's an informed man right there.
He is remarkable. He is the hardest working man in sports. There's no question. And whoever's at the other end of the spectrum is sitting right next to me. Congratulations to UALR. Extra innings for the second straight year against UCA. Big night at Dickey Stevens Park. A 5-3 win, a walk-off, two-run homer. How much fun is that? For Austin Pfeiffer, a 5-3 win over Central Arkansas in front of a crowd of 1391 on a perfect evening at Dickey Stevens Park. So it's a pretty big one. It's always fun to get a walk. I never had a walk-off. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, me either, because I never really played baseball.
Be hard to do that. You ever hit a game-winning shot?
Maybe. I've hit a few shots.
Speaking of, we have a trivia question related to Matt Stell. So when we come back, for Arkansas tickets, if you like, 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. As we head into the break, let me tell you about fixing up that hair and looking righteous. You know where to do it. Sport Clips.
Yes.
You know there are over 1,000 nationwide?
1,000?
Yes.
Wow.
SportClips.com.